Good morning. Welcome to the conference today, which are the second quarter results, financial results, 2017 from Celsia. All lines have been placed on mute to avoid any background noise. After the comments made by the speaker, there will be a session to make questions and answers. If you wish to make questions in that moment, you just need to press the asterisk and number one key on your telephone. If you want to withdraw your question, please dial hash. Now, let me introduce Ricardo Sierra, Celsia CEO. Mr. Sierra, please go ahead.
Thank you so much, Samuel. Good morning to all, and thanks for being today with us. In the last call, we talked about the enthusiasm and commitment we have to be the pioneers in Colombia of the non-renewable commercial energy, especially the solar energy. We would like to tell you that we're about to power the first solar farm in Colombia, which is going to be 9.9 MW and is located in Yumbo. This is the first project of an ambitious plan that is going to take us to have 250 MW installed capacity in the next 24 months. Please join this process by watching the video of the progress made by this Celsia project in celsia.com, www.celsia.com, or in our Celsia Energy YouTube channel. Initially, we're going to show you all the different elements of the progress. I guess you will enjoy that. Additionally, in the segment of the solar roofs, we're installing about 20 MW, and we have acceptance for 20 MW. We are committed to our customers to provide more competitive, clean, and sustainable energy. We have foreseen to develop projects like this that will contribute to reducing 21,000 tons of CO2 per year, which is equal to about 500 trees. We have Plant 5 Caribia. Currently, we are installing the transformers of the substation near Montería, 110 kW, in the capital of Córdoba, which will contribute meaningful to the generation of energy in this part of the country. The transformers that enable us to increase power and reduce or increase tension of the solar system are going to be ready soon. It's going to have seven transformers, and one of those is going to be a backup in case there is a failure or we need to do maintenance to the other things. That is going to be a lot of reliability to the regional system, and this new capacity will enable Montería and the north of the department of Córdoba to have to take care of more power demand and to take care of more residential, industrial, and commercial customers. The investment for this project is 44 billion pesos. Let's remind that we have already started to operate in the projects in Guajira and Cesar, and soon we are going to start our works in Atlántico and Bolívar. By the end of July, we will have our first thermal district in Montería operating. This project supplements the power energy's provision and replaces the traditional air conditioning system. It will reduce the power consumption from 1.4 kW per ton of refrigeration to 1 kW. In terms of energetic efficiency, it's going to be 24% savings in consumption. We have also increased our home portfolio. We currently have 580,000 customers, and we'd like to go deeper into this relationship with them. We are working on electric mobility and lighting. Our competitors have had the same portfolios, and they have been very successful. We are making progress in this category, supporting the knowledge and the closeness we have with our customers. Regarding our operations in Central America, we would like to talk about the complementary part of the technologies in the generation part. Due to the phenomenon of El Niño 2015-2016, we had, and due to the wind speeds, it was a very positive thing. Now that we have rain again, we have more normal flows, and the hydroelectric power generation is much better, and now it's working with this thermal park. This was a very interesting quarter. We started consolidating the segments that we have defined, and all the organization continues moving forward with the development and the culture of talent of Celsia. based on the transversal principles of Grupo Argos. We would like to highlight our position in the Monitor Reputation Marco Talento team, in which Celsia has increased 33 positions in the ranking of the 100 most attractive companies. We moved from 59 position to 26, and it's become the second most important company to work in the sector. We're not going to stop here. We are doing a transformation, cultural transformation process, and our team is developing new ideas, and we hope our customers enjoy this and that it's going to bring generate value for our company. Before moving to the financial results, I would like to show you a little bit on the context. The demand of the energy in Colombia was more than 16,600 gigawatts per hour, which is 22% more than 2016 in the previous year. This has shown the demand in the regular market. This is a very important fact because of there was a change in the dynamics in the first semester. We have seen that there has been a change. The demand this year has been lower than previous years. Where we operate most part of our operation, the amount of power is growing at 3%, which is over 1% of the national average. The hydrical support has been 108% of the historical average, which is 77% up than what was recorded the previous year. The level added by the dams in SIN was 78% of the powerful. So as you see, we have a lot of energy in the dams, and this has generated a very complicated context of prices in the stock market. In Panama, which is the Fortuna Dam, which is near to our centers in Chiriquí, was moved from 93 to 96%. In 2016, it moved to 73%. On the other hand, Payanos Dam was reduced from 36% of its useful level. In general terms, the best conditions, hydrological conditions, and the better participation of the hydroelectric in the dispatch allowed that the marginal average cost of the energy was lower 4% if compared to the previous year, which is now $65 per megawatt hour. The price of diesel consumed by the thermal plants in Panama was reduced by 3%, and bunkering coal increased 48%. It's important to see that this trend in Panama, the hydroelectric part in Panama is playing a big part in the last days. Now we're going to see the operational and financial costs, and you will find more details in the quarter report that we have posted in our website. During the second trimester, the consolidated incomes was 133 billion, which was a reduction of 14% compared to the same period last year. The generation in Colombia contributed to 257,000, if compared to, which is a reduction of 36% respect of the previous year, especially because there was a reduction of 63% in the price of power in spot, if compared to the same quarter last year. This is very important to, as we mentioned, the price in the stock market due to the amount of water that we have had. We hadn't seen these levels for so long time since 2011. That means those that are exposed to the stock market have been doing very well, buying power at a very low prices. And obviously, this has affected us. The power generated in Colombia reached 1,355 gigawatts hour. There was an increase of 33% in the power in hydraulic generation due to weather conditions. On the other hand, the thermal generation reduced 56%. Remember that in the second quarter last year, we were facing Niño, and now we have just finished that. The incomes of the transmission of distribution business remain stable, about 66 billion. And the beginning of the operation of two projects for Plan Fast Caribe, which was March and May, and Alferes One Line, which started working in August 2016, managed to compensate the demand of the energy in Valle del Cauca and the reduction of the IPP. The retail commercialization reached 225 billion in the quarter with an increase of 11%. The amounts that were sold to the market were 5%, and the amounts sold to the market were stable, to a regulated market were stable. When we talk about the non-regulated market, is 5%, and those are the customers that are not regulated by the government, and then we have reached increased the amount of customers that we have there. During the civil strike that we had in Buenaventura, we stopped reading the information from 5,000 customers, and they were invoiced in July. And in Central America, we would like to highlight the income for $61 million, which was an increase of 7.4% if compared to 2016. The positive variation is explained by the increase in the sale contract in Cativa, which provided $3.5 million additional, which also increased was also increased because of the index price. Due to the year date, we have reached consolidated incomes for $1.5 million, which is a reduction of 33% if compared to the previous year, due mainly to the reduction of the price in the stock market in Colombia. We had 214 pesos per kilowatt in 2016, and now we have moved to 79 in the second semester of 2017. The cost of sales in the quarter was 500 million, which was down 24% if compared to the same period last year. And this is due to more participation in the hydric generation. In Colombia, the cost of the sales cost was lower 30% if compared regarding cost of fuel and energy purchases because of a lower generation of the thermal park due to the normalization of the hydrological conditions in May 2016. In Central America, BLM and Cativa registered less the dispatch of plants due to a CNN which has enabled us to negotiate the contracts in the purchasing spot. This obviously has created, has had a positive impact in the operational margin. So the cost of sales reaches 1 billion pesos in the year, and there is a reduction of 42% compared to 2016. Regarding the operational costs of consolidated, these are 49,000 billion in the first quarter, 19% higher than those that we had in the second quarter last year. There, nevertheless, we have to keep into consideration that in 2016 we retrieved some invoice receivable, accounts receivable for 13,500 billion. So we have reached a normalized account, and the operational costs have been consolidated, and they are reduced by 8% year per year. Now, let's see how all this has impacted the EBITDA. The EBITDA for the quarter was 279 billion pesos, which is 6% over 2016, mainly because of the contribution of the generation park in Colombia, which contributed with 147,000 billion pesos, and the stability of the business of distribution and commercialization, which provided 77 billion, and the good performance in Central America, which participated with $20 million. The EBITDA for the year is 520,000 years, which is 2% under what we saw in 2016. The non-operational results for the quarter, we have a lower financial expense because of the cancellation of the first series of bonuses of Celsia and EPSA and the amortization of the credit multilateral for the Celsia free duty zone. All this, the organization recorded a net income of 64 billion. And then we also, when we discuss the monetary rates, the result, the net result is 86 billion. And the result regarding the controller is 43 billion. Our company closed the quarter, we closed the cash box with 280,000 billion, which is a result of the good operational financial performance. To the management of the debt that has given good results, in which the net debt over the EBITDA is 3.5 times if compared to 4.3 times if compared in the second semester. In the last year, we have had 300,000 of our passives. We see that we have diversified the generation of flow in our operation has shown there is a good diversified business due to customer geographies, currencies, and technologies. So that's giving good results. Regarding the investment in CapEx in Colombia, we have executed investments for $165 billion in the second semester, in which 73% correspond to the generation, but 78% is especially in transmission and distribution, especially because of the Caribe project. We have also made investments in technology, in which we are making a lot of emphasis. Some things that we want to highlight is that we have made different investments in different parts. We have repotentiated Salvajin and investments in Alban for the telecontrol systems. In Nimados, we changed the upload pipelines, and then we also did maintenance to a turbine in Media Electrica. As we said at the beginning of the teleconference, we are making progress with Celsius Solar Jumbo, which is 78% of the project execution, and we expect that we can invite you soon to visit this first solar farm in the country. In the distribution business, they have given us the environmental license for phase one in the project Atlantico in Plan 5 Line Caribe. It was late, but we finally got the license. Caracolí is the project that has more challenges because of the amount of investment that we have to do, but it's going to give a lot of have an great impact in the reliability and security for the system in the area. Out of the $470,000 billion that is going to be investment, but then this part that is going to be implemented in Barranquilla is going to be $185 billion, and that is going to lead to increasing the quality of the service that we're going to provide in Costa Caribe. In the thermal district in Monteria, we have made investments to by $18,000 billion. It's the first experiment. It's a pilot that is going to give us all the elements to start developing this line and offer this service to our customers. This is very important because it takes us to the trend, world trend, to find energetic efficiencies. I would like to tell you that that's already operating in the technical parameters that we're expecting, and we're just waiting for the normalization of loads in consumption, but it's making very positive progress. In Central America, we have executed investments for $8 million, out of which $7 million correspond to maintenance, replacement, and improvement of the BLM, and the other parts correspond to maintenance in Catiba and improvements in Dos Mares in the Parque Eólico de Guanacaste. All this progress is the result of our conviction to have a modern company that can leverage the development of new products, services with technology, with brand new technology, and with the most possible, most trained and well-trained personnel that we can find. Finally, I would like to refer how the technology innovation makes part of our culture, and they are closely related to the energy business. A little sample of this is Electricity, which is a virtual game that can be downloaded in the mobile devices. With this game, we look that people find more about, learn more about the brand and our business. But the most important thing is that we want that people have fun and they can also make they can support the environment. Every download of the game and every time players get 650 points in the game, the company will plant a tree. Up to date, Electricity has contributed with almost 17,000 trees due to the downloads and the scores of the different users. The goal is to reach 50,000 trees. The initiative makes part of our program Riverdese, which wants to protect the Valle del Cauca basin and also to plant a million trees per year. We find that this is very important because of the connection of the customers and the companies. This is something that we are developing for all the customers in the retail. Well, this is all. We would like to open the floor to answer your questions. Thank you so much, Samuel. In this moment, we would like to remind you that if you want to make a question, please dial *1 in the dial path of your phone. *1 to make a question. The first question is coming from Mark Haynes from BTG. Good day for all. Thanks for the presentation and congratulations for the results. I have three questions. The first one has to do with the Central America operation. If you analyze this well in And if you pay attention to the evolution that you have shown from the moment you purchased this operation, it seems like the US operation does not seem to be 100% efficient, perhaps because of the structuring of the contracts, and that perhaps we still have more room to continue increasing the profitability levels. I would like to know which is the role in 2016 for that operation, or what's the strategy to continue strengthening up this operation. The second question is also related to this first one, which is at a given moment we talked about updating the Bahía Las Minas plant to gas. Bear in mind that Panama is also going to be starting using these new technologies due to a finishing of the Ascolon plant. So are those plants continue being a priority for Celsia? How much is this process going to cost? Will that give you more advantage regarding the negotiation of contracts so they are more flexible? I would like to see how you see that. I would like to understand how you see that. And the third question has to do with the free duties on Celsia. In 2012 or 2013, we saw levels regarding 14%, and also due to the phenomena El Niño, these figures were reduced. But then we would like to know if you have any specific strategy to see these levels, or if you see that these levels are going to to be reduced, and what's the strategy for that? Thank you so much. Thank you, Mark. Those are very interesting questions, and I like it very lot because it makes a lot of emphasis in ROI. To be honest, we have worked a lot with that indicator. For us, the STAR indicator, especially because of the new investments and when we are analyzing the potential of the assets, that's a very important thing. So it's important that you and all those that are listening that could keep understanding that that's a very important indicator of the everyday management. So let's talk a little bit about the Central America chapter. I'm going to separate the assets, and Esteban is going to give some additional detail, but then I would like to summarize the situation. I believe the management, our activities has been very positive regarding the operational performance of the assets. Even our partners in Panama have recognized or have acknowledged how well we have managed this asset, which is Bahía Las Minas. We have had historical results, that have been historical that had not been seen before. Nevertheless, as you see, BLM is an asset that has which equipment is very old in terms of age. Operationally, is not the most efficient. So what we have been doing is we have been fixing it a little bit, but we have not transformed it. And that's the plan. We are studying the different possibilities to see if we can use it by gas, or if we refix the operational structure, or if we replace some critical equipment for new technology or last equipment technology. But this all depends on the fact that we can solve, depending on the results of the next energy sales that we have. So the technical team and the Central America team has been working on this topic closely, because that's the asset that may be pushing our profitability. Now, the other part is, I'm going to talk about the other assets, the Dos Mares, which is the hydroelectrical central. This asset has had a very positive performance. Nevertheless, we believe that this asset can generate additional power. We have been reviewing the engineering of this. We have been working very hard with the team in Colombia from the technical perspective, and I believe that we should be able to get more energy from this central. But in general terms, this is improving a lot. In 2014, this central produced 250 megawatts per year. In 2016, it produced 470, and now it's generating more than 500. So that demonstrates that the operational capacity of Celsia has been important, and we have a lot of room to improve. The wind park is one of the most efficient in the world. When you see the data from Enercon, we had a record in the production last year, which was impressive. There were months in which almost 100% was used, so it's really good. But nevertheless, wind park is due to the changes in the wind regimes has been affected, and we are making some operational improvements, changing some of the equipment to try that the life, that the final life of this equipment is expanded. So I can give you a general idea on the Central America, but then we're also going to work on the solar topic. Perhaps we didn't mention this in the conference, but we have the environmental license for some solar parks that we're going to be included around the central, the hydroelectrical parks in Panama. It's 45 megawatts. We're starting to work on that, and perhaps in a month it's going to be operational. So perhaps, Esteban, if you want to complement the financial data.
Sure, Ricardo.
Regarding ROE, as Ricardo was mentioning, I believe that we are doing a plan to improve. From the moment we started working in 2014, we have doubled the ROE for this operation, or the operation was created in time. I remember that when we started working on the three operations in 2014, we did not consolidate that information, but then when we purchased this operation, but basically it produced net losses almost all the businesses in the Olic Park, but then nowadays all the partners are providing, have positive profitability. So we have been reducing the external debt volumes for those operations, even including the debt of the purchase, and also their own debts have been reduced. 2014, the bond sale was some $15 million. $115, and now it's $85 million. So the operations are giving positive results. As we, Ricardo said, the LN had the first, we're working on the main results. Nevertheless, it's a project of improvement that we need to make sure that also is aligned with the market what is happening in that country, because of the way it operates is different to what we have. We have the development of the land in Costa Rica, but we have to wait for that business to start working. So regarding the second question you were making regarding the BLM, nevertheless, this is a very important topic. We have several alternatives of the project to develop BLM with different levels of capital. Given the fact that we don't have anything, we haven't chosen anything, and given that it's a variable that is extremely important for the auctions, we cannot give all the numbers for these options, but we do have different options for VLM. And the important thing is that last year it showed that the asset showed it's got the capacity to have a very different financial phase due to an operational a positive manager. Now, talking about free duty Celsia, it has had some positive years with ROEs very high, and due to the Nino, of course, that impacted the ROE of the company. Nevertheless, structurally, this is a very important asset for us. Now that we have the operational plant, for us, it reduced a lot the risk of fuel. And now we have, regarding the price of scarcity, which is 360 pesos, now we have the possibility to produce energy in critical moments within those limits. Nevertheless, we're waiting for the new regulations for these prices that is going to leave tranquility and a more relaxed environment. This asset has shown very positive things. The team has been able to transform completely the availability of this asset. Now it's got 97% of availability due to technical work, which has been spectacular. and I believe it's going to increase a little bit more. So that's a figure that we haven't seen in quite a long time. And we have managed to reorganize the maintenance program that we have with Siemens, which is going to generate efficiencies in the next years in that plant in particular. We expect that we have answered your questions, Mark. Yes, thank you so much. I had one more element to mention, and it's how much do you think is going to be the current ROE in Central America? Our consolidated ROE is 9%. But when you look, and it was reduced because of the thermal situation in this moment. So that's an asset that can be between 5% perhaps. We're doing some numbers in this moment, but if you want, we can send you the information. Okay, thank you so much. The next question is coming from Diego Buitrago, Bancolombia. Good morning. Thanks for the presentation. I have three questions. The first one has to do with Porvenir 2. I would like to know if you can tell us a little bit about the progress of the structuring of this process, of this project that were mentioned at the beginning of the year. You were thinking about a project finance. How is that doing? Second question has to do with the strategy from this moment for the next years and for the next months and year regarding the stock market prices due to the good hydrological conditions and the demand, and also because of the entrance of Ituango, which is very likely that it's going to put pressure on the stock market prices. So I would like to know how are you going to work from the strategic perspective. And then the last question is a little bit more financial and has to do with what are the costs or the expenses that are going to be caused this year regarding the reclassification plant in Coast. Thank you. Thank you, Diego. Well, let me tell you a couple of things regarding Porvenir. Porvenir 2, we continue working very hard on the relationship with the communities and the maintenance of the environmental license. Remember that this project has been declared as a PYME, so it's a national and a strategic interest, and it's got all the support from the national government. It's got the environmental license is ready. So in this moment, there is no other project with that license. And additionally, for us, it's very important to have this social license. And we're working very hard. We have been working in that territory for 6 years. And we have been explaining to the community the different topics related to the project. So now it has the support of the mayors of the region, the governor, and from the different national entities, and especially from the community, which is going to be directly impacted by the project. So this is very important because we have in the country a very negative topic environment because of the mining and the use of other types of technology. So this is an achievement for us. We need to keep this and to keep this commitment with the community. Regarding the progress of the project, we did the auction of the civil works. We are getting the different offers from the different vendors. We are working on the design and the engineering. We are doing that process, and it's very well in advanced. Our financial teams are also working as well. If you want, Esteban can give us some additional information regarding that, but then regarding the project finance schema seems to be the ideal one, the one we are pursuing, and we want to see how we can leverage this process, this project in the best possible way so that we can find equities from other sources and to bring vendors that have shown a lot of interest to make part of this project. So basically, we're working on that part. The project is making progress. We hope that during this year and next year we can fine-tune some of our topics to see that we, I mean, to be able to announce that we are ready. This also connects with the stock market topic. We have had 4 months of very low stock market prices, and the perspective, nobody had this perspective that we were going to have so much water this first year. To be honest, we had a non-declare Niña phenomena, and this is what Ricardo Lozano has said. And I believe that's true, because if you see the regarding the provisions, we have 20% of more provisions in the scene than what we had in the past. We have 15% more. That is almost 200 gigas of power that we did not include, and unfortunately the prices have been to the lowest. What is our expectation for the month? I believe that there is going to be a rationale. The hard part is coming, and I believe there is going to be certain volatility for the second part of the semester. And I believe that this is going to remain. The Niña conditions are not seen, and what we see is more a level of neutrality regarding the hydraulic system until the end of the year. And how do we connect this with the Twango? I believe EPM is working very hard on pre-posting this technology. We see that in the market. We see contracts, and we were competing with different vendors. We know that there are contracts for 9 years, 10 years. That obviously means that the Ituango Energy is coming to the market. So I don't know at the end what this is going to have as an effect, apart from the solar topics. But what I would say is this country continues growing at 3 or 4% or more. We will need 400 megas per year to keep the demand of energy. And, of course, Ituango is an important part of that. But clearly the country could absorb of this energy of Ituango. So there are many questions in this topic. I don't know if, Esteban, if you would like to complement a little bit more the investment, the part of the investment. Well, just to finish Porvenir 2, we have been working with the international banking to structure the preliminary conditions of the improving Porvenir and the guarantees that the deadlines and the amounts that would be required. We're working very hard with the project team because the definition of the capex and the expenses, it's very important to determine how the project is going to be held. Ricardo has mentioned almost everything. I believe the only thing that is left to say is that we are very careful as an organization not to be run by the effect of the low prices. In a low price moment, you believe you can hire, but I believe we have learned the lesson with El Niño, and we want to be very disciplined in terms of our commercial policies and the portfolio that we can offer in the long term, which is, this is a long-term business. We understand that in the long term, we can have a commercial strategy may seem to be over below the market price, but there are other moments in which we will be able to be doing well depending on the market. So that's something that we have to take into consideration with the different parts. And then regarding the reclassification plan, I believe that let me tell you that we are paying annually for the rights of the regasification part, some $11 million. That's what we pay annually to the Callao Port Society due to a regasification. That corresponds to a fixed part, of course. There are some other variable costs. And once we decide how to regasify this is a very low cost. So those are considered, of course, in the variable costs that were mentioned by Ricardo that give us a variable cost that is lower than the scarcity price. Thank you, Diego. Thank you so much. Just a follow-up regarding what signs of the contract price is giving the market. How much is the market hiring these contracts that are being signed for the next years?
Well, I could give you, the price could be about 200, 210 pesos for contracts to 3 to 5 years, prices today. Of course, big consumers may want to get lower costs, but we are, up to this moment, that's the most important part of how we, the contracts are being closed. It varies a lot depending on the type of customer, on the consumption, and that's why we're working very hard on providing competitive energy to our customers so that they can be competitive. And obviously, we're working very hard with our teams in terms of power efficiency, combining products with solar power, and also to provide systems in which they have coverage and roofs. So nowadays, the commercial product, if compared to our customers, is a winner because we can offer some combos and alternatives that are very interesting that our competitors do not have. Is there any highlights regarding the CAPEX for Parvenir 2? No. The truth is that we're closing the call for offers. We will have a guidance ready to be. So it's going to be ready to be built. We hope that this information is going to be available very soon. Okay, thank you, Diego. The next question is coming from Catherine Ortiz from Corredores da Vivienda. Good day. I just have one question. I would like to understand the accounts payable for Celsius passives, which this year has increased a lot. So these accounts payable in the short term, where are they from, and perhaps if this could generate the reduction of the cash flow for this year? Yes, Catherine, let me explain that increase. That increase is caused by the Vivienda decree, which was in the board's meeting in March. If you remember, the dividend last year was subscribing in the stock market, in shares, and also in cash. But then we also decided that for those that decided to go for cash, it would be paid in one single payment. So that's why the decree for this year is goes back to the normality, so it's going to be paid in 4 installments. So that's why we still have 3 payments to be made, but then last year we didn't have any payments to be made due to the stock, to the shares that we had defined to be paid. All right, understood. Thank you. Next question is coming from Natalia Segovia Porvenir. Good day. Thanks for the conference. I had one question, which is regarding EFSA. In the cost of sales, we saw an increase of 15% due to a less of internal energy due to EFSA generator and generator performer. So why this change in the price cost? EFSA commercial has the possibility to buy to EFSA generator or can purchase to other generators to take care of its demand. And that's the way they do within a competition with all the markets, all the market agents to make the best decision for our users. In some years, we hire with the with EFSA generator and sometimes we don't. So when we buy EFSA generator, as it happened in 2016, 100% of the energy came from the own generator. Obviously, we don't have costs regarding the purchase of energy because it's an internal negotiation. But then in 2017, that allocation of energy was 70% for the own generator and 30% was for other generators. So that's why we have a transaction with a third party that has to be acknowledged as a real cost of the organization, an actual cost of the organization. That's why. Okay, understood. Thank you.
Next question is coming from Mark Haynes from BTG. Good day again. I had two more questions, and I have a little bit more of time. The first one is, as you know, ESA has been allocated with the line to connect the first segment and to provide the wind potential that is available in Guajira. And there were three companies that were interested in this. Celsia was not one of these companies. I was wondering what was the reason why you were not interested in participating in this, if perhaps you had too many projects or perhaps the wind projects are not profitable. And the second question that I had is regarding with Law 361, which gives four options to structure or to sell renewable energy. So I would like to know which of these four options is interesting for you and why. Perfect, Mark. Very good question. Well, let's start with ESA. We have a limit today to participate in those national transmission lines as we are complete, fully integrated, so we can have more than 2%. Let me tell you that our teams did the whole task. We were reviewing the possibility of doing it or applying to start warming up. You don't know if in the future perhaps they can give us the chance to participate. But let me tell you that this is a very important thing for the country to start bringing this wind power from Guajira. We are very, very happy that the country is working towards this process. We're working very hard as well for that. We believe in the wind power. We are operators of this wind power possibility. We have a very good relationship with different players. Our team is experts in these topics. So we are co-developing with another firm wind power of 340 megas in La Guajira, and we expect that in the future we can build in 2023 or something like that when those lines are available and connected. So we are getting ready for that. We are ready to start working for that. The second question, I didn't understand that very well regarding the auction. Yes. In the CLECS, 161 document shows four different options. If I'm not mistaken, one is a green bond, a PPA contract for the sale of renewable energy, and define a price for that energy that comes from renewable powers. The third one is a quota for the sellers can buy part of that energy as renewable energy, and then to promote more the implementation of these technologies. And the fourth one, I don't remember very well what it said, but there were four or three options. So I would like to know if you perhaps have any comments regarding this law. Well, we have many. We don't like any of those. First, we don't like any of those, and let me tell you why. If the government wants to take a picture saying that they are located an option, that's okay, but that's the most inefficient thing for the country. The countries that have used this route, nowadays, the solar technologies and the wind technologies are competitive if compared to the other technologies. So the country cannot privilege technologies if we know that it has resources from the other sources. And then if it's going to do an auction, that's okay. They will have to, all of them, they will have to compete, and the best has to win. So that's something that we have said always with the conversations with the CREC and the ministry in the different forums that we have attended. Look at what is happening now. Now we are developing 250 megawatts of solar energy. And we have in solar roofs about 50 megawatts. We continue growing in this fund. So we're offering our customers a very competitive product. So we don't need to subsidize anything. We don't have to be privileged with options like that. So those directed options, those are going to be benefit one or two players. which have the characteristics to compete in markets defined like that or with those barriers. So for you to know, Celsia, we don't like that. We like to compete. We like all to compete. We like to compete. We like everybody to be competing, and that's what we are going for. Esteban is ready to work, to speak on this. No, I believe you have summarized very well our position. I believe that, to be honest, this what we have worked for in these two last years, the conclusion is that we don't need that type of mechanism to achieve that the renewable energies, non-conventional renewable energies, go into the market. We believe that there is a way for them to play based on the current rules of the game. Okay, thank you. Thank you so much for the answers. Those are very clear. Thank you, Mark. Next question is coming from Diana Mosquera from SWAM. Thank you so much. Good day. I have a question. You were mentioning that you have made a big effort in terms of the increasing the participation in the non-regulated market. I would like to have more details regarding the incrementation of the market share, and if you can give us a little bit more of information on the agreements that you have signed or reached. Thank you. Well, we can send you some information and some charts, but in general terms, I could tell you this. We are starting to manage indicators like the telecommunication companies, the famous churn rates regarding that. So when you look at the products that we have launched recently, we have lost about 5 gigawatts in the non-regulated market. We have earned markets for 20 or 25 gigawatts. So that's it's showing that the strategy is very interesting. We have opened commercial offices in Santander, in Costa, in Bogota. We have reformulated these offices. We're giving them much more space. And as we were saying, we have very interesting products that offer energy contracts without any conditioning, very flexible, and that has a lot of warranties for the purchasers. We're working on that, Diana. The idea is that at the end of the year, we can give you more specific data regarding volumes. Okay, thank you. There are no more questions, so we just leave the floor for the panelists to give the final comments. I forgot to mention that as Diego was asking for Porvenir 2, we have a Centro de Porquia project. It's a small hydroelectrical central. It's almost ready. We're closing the negotiation with the civil work groups, but then we should be in less than a month, we should be announcing the beginning of building that project. That's a project of 20 megas, small, in Antioquia. But as you know, we are experts in small centrals, and that would complement the portfolio of small centrals that we have in the Antioquia region. With that, we would like to close. Thank you so much for listening to us, and let's talk in 3 months. With this, we finish the conference for today. Thank you for your participation. Now you can disconnect. Thanks.